If you would, please turn to 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. And whenever you get there, please stand in honor of God's word this morning, please. 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. I'm going to begin with the 20th verse. All right. And Elijah died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men that had cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing but praise and thanksgiving in my heart for you this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love, Lord, that you've given each and every one of us when you sent your Son to die upon that cross. God, I ask you, Father, this morning to be with each soul represented here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would open hearts. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the word would reach hearts and they'd go into their lives and that we could take it and go out of here with it. And take and go out into a world, Lord, that needs you, that needs your word, that needs your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Do you all know who the last casualty of the Civil War was? And do you know what year the last casualty of the Civil War happened? It happened in 2008, by the way. That was the last casualty of the Civil War. A gentleman by the name of Sam White, in February of 2008, died. And he died because he would go out and he would get old Civil War relics and he would bring them back to his house and he would clean them up. And then he would take, whenever he cleaned them up, he would take and try to sell them. Well, he found some old ammunition and ammunition that from the Civil War, he was there cleaning it up and it went off and it killed him. And that was the last known casualty of the Civil War to this point right now. The blast was so powerful that it sent a 15-pound piece of shrapnel a quarter of a mile away and went into another house. That's how powerful it was. And you know, I got to thinking about that because when I read about that, as you all well know, I'm really probably an idiot when it comes to history. So when I was reading about this, one of the articles stated in it, it said this. And it said, you know what? That even though it was buried, it wasn't dead. And now I got to thinking, Lord, that is a sermon this morning. Amen? You know what? That is a sermon. Just because it's buried doesn't mean that it's dead. Amen? It doesn't mean... You know what? The Israelites, you know, they were... Now let's think about this. We'll go back to our scripture. They were taking this man to bury him. Elijah had already been dead for about a year. Well, they've seen the enemy coming. And they say, well, you know what? Man, they get scared, so they just throw him in a grave. And lo and behold, it was the grave of Elijah. He goes down and he touches the bones, and this man comes back to life. Praise God, you know what? Elijah had been dead for a year, or been buried for a year, but praise be to God, he wasn't dead yet. Amen? And I want to tell you something this morning. Listen to me. We have people buried all over these graveyards out here that died in the Lord one day. And I'm here to tell you this morning, just because they're buried doesn't mean that they're dead. Amen? Because they're not dead. And praise God, you know what? They live on. They live on no matter what we think or what we say. Here was the prophet of God. He had been buried for that many years and for a year now. And praise be to God, he was still miracle working, happy in his life. I'm here to tell you, I'm confident to say, listen to me. The graves around this community, they are not dead. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. We know that whenever a Christian dies, I believe that we are in the presence of the Lord right then. But you know what? I want to take this one step further. Praise God, you know what? Just because a Christian is buried up here in a grave somewhere doesn't mean that they're dead somewhere. Because praise God, they're still doing a work in people's lives today. I tell you, I think about this quite often, and I say it quite a bit. You know what? I've known people that, the Christian people that have been dead now for over 40 years, and they're still having an effect on people. Because why? Because they had an effect on me one day. And praise God, I'm still here today serving the Lord, and as long as He allows me breath to preach, I'm going to still be preaching God's Word. Because you know what? On one of these days, I hope and pray that whenever I'm gone, that there'll be people that'll say, you know, remember Him, and praise God, the Word of God will go on. They can put me in the grave where somewhere, they can bury me as deep as they want to, Greg. But praise God, I'm not dead. Amen. I am not dead, no way, shape, or form. And you know what? I ask you this morning, listen to me. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I don't know where you're at here this morning, but I offer you something here today. I offer you the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to talk about a Valentine's Day card. You want to talk about the love. You want to talk about love. They call Valentine's Day the day of love. Well, you know what? I'm here this morning. No love, no greater love is in any man than to give his life. And I praise God this morning that Jesus Christ gave his life for the ungodly. He gave his life for those that didn't deserve it. But praise God, he did it anyway. And he's here this morning. I'm telling you what, he is still here this morning, giving that love out to all who wants it and to all who are willing to grab it. You know, over in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, we call those the faith chapter. But you know what? Paul gives us a roll call of all the heroes of faith. He does it. Having gained a good report through faith, then in 12:1, Paul lays it out to Hebrew Christians and to us as well here this morning. Wherefore, seeing we also are compressed about by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One day, if the Lord tarries His coming, you know what? Praise God, they're going to bury us. They're going to bury us 6 foot deep. But praise God, that ain't going to be the end of us. Whether it's on this earth or whether we meet in heaven someday, it's not going to be the end of us. I want to praise Him for that this morning. I don't know. You know what? I think about this. You know what? Yeah, like Greg said this morning, you know what? There's times those old dry bones are going to live again one day. Oh, no. We don't live on top of the mountain every day. I want us to understand that there ain't one of us in here that lives on top of the mountain every day. But praise God, we can walk by faith. We can do that. And praise God, when we walk by faith, there are going to be times that He's going to stir these old dry bones up, and the Spirit of God is going to touch us and lift us up. And I want to praise Him today whenever the Spirit comes upon us. Because whenever it does, you know what? There is no doubt. No doubt. Whenever He touches us and lifts us up out of that sometimes and sets our souls on fire. If you would now turn to 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, if you would please. 2 Kings 22, and I'm going to read verse 8. I'll give you a minute to get there. 2 Kings 22, verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. What is going on here is that Josiah, the king, had sent him down there to rebuild the temple. That's what he sent Shaphan down there to rebuild it. Well, they found the word of God. And whenever they found it, praise God, you know what? They started looking through it. And in verse 22:11, it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. You see, for years, the nation of Judah had just let the word of God go. They didn't want to pay attention to it. Didn't they have any idea what it was, actually? But praise God, whenever they started digging into it, they found the word of God. They tried to bury it, Nancy. They tried to hide it somewhere. I'm here to tell you that's no different to what they do today with the Word of God. They try to bury it. They try to take it out and make it of none effect. I'm here this morning to tell you, you can bury it, but it's not dead. The Word of God is living. It's the living word of God. That's what my Bible tells me. And you know what? They thought it was dead. They thought they didn't have to worry about it no more. I feel it's one of the biggest problems is facing the church world today. I really do. They have buried the word of God. They foolishly think that if they compromise on it, if they twist it to fit their own narrative, if they take and they feel that they can live any way that they want to. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not what my Bible tells me. You may bury it, you may not look at it the same way, but I'm here to tell you, God's word is alive, and you can bury it as deep as you want to, but it is still alive and it will remain alive. So they say that they what they want and how they want to do it. There's too many preachers that have buried the word of God. They've set it aside because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Let me say it again to you this morning. Just because something is buried doesn't mean that it's dead, Jamie. Doesn't mean that it's dead. I want to say that again this morning. Just because we like to bury the scriptures and not deal with them doesn't mean that they're not real and that they're not still what God wants us to do with them. The feel-good gospel's taken over. It has taken over Christianity today. It's taken it over way too much. They think if they bury that part of God's word, they think if they get it out of sight and out of mind, that you know what? It won't convict people's hearts. They don't want condemnation anymore. They don't want conviction upon people's heart. That somehow that's going to be right, and that's the way that it should be. I'm here this morning to tell you that's not the way that it should be. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me ask you something here this morning. Where's common sense went to anymore? Can I just ask you that? Mark, you know how we used to tell common sense back home where I was raised? If you had tobacco juice coming out both sides of your mouth, that's how you could tell if you was level-headed. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying, listen, where has common sense went? Where have we gotten to the point in this country? And I'm just going to be blunt with you today, that wherever a baby is born, that they can still try to take its life. Tell me where we've come to common sense in this country today when we're dealing with that. I want to ask you something. There's not a one of us that's in here this morning that wasn't born one time. Aren't you thankful that your mom and your dad didn't feel like that you were nothing but a blob out there someday? I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to back down because I believe life is important. I believe God says that life is important. And I want you to know something. There's more to this thing. Where's our common sense went? In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen? My words shall not pass away. Many have tried. Many have tried to do. They've tried to bury God's word. They've tried to do it. Ain't going to happen. I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to happen. Amen? It just not going to happen. I don't care what they think, what they try. I'm here to tell you, if God lets this world stand 100 years, His word will still be true. There'll still be people getting saved. There'll still be people going to church somewhere. It may not be a whole lot, but I'm telling you, God will keep a remnant someplace. Amen? Amen. He will do it. No matter what they want to say, no matter what they want to try to bury, because God will speak to us through His word. If you're willing to get into it and listen to it and read it, He will speak to you. You might even have a Josiah moment. Amen. You might even, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Praise God. You know what? There are times in my life whenever God has dealt with me with His word, and you know what? I just felt like to get on my knees and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, for I have sinned, and I need your help, and I need your guidance. Conviction is a powerful thing. Conviction is powerful. I've known people under conviction so bad they thought they were sick. They actually went to the doctor and thought they were sick. An old gentleman that I went to church with, he went to the doctor, thought he was sick, Greg. When he got to the doctor asked him, he said, are you in revival? And he said, yes. He said, well, you need to get saved. He testified that all the time. I remember him talking about that. And praise God. You know what? He went back and he got saved. And he said he felt a whole lot better after that. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can I tell you something? We need all of God's word, do we not? We need it all. Now, if a doctor goes to you and tells you, you have to take this medicine 3 times a day for 365 days to get better, you better not quit about halfway through it. Amen? You better not quit about halfway through. So why do we think that we can only take part of God's word? Why do we think that we only need to worry about part of God's word and let's just bury the rest of it? We can't do that. It won't work. It's just like we take the medicine. We need it all. The Bible talks about a literal hell. Amen? The Bible talks about a literal hell. The Bible talks about Jesus being the only way that you can get not go to that place one day. He's the only way. Don't let them tell you anything. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost and then how it dwells in believers' lives. The Bible talks about living right, not any old way you want to. The Bible talks about living right. The Bible talks about while we're in the flesh, we will have tribulations down here. We will have tribulations. Jesus said it. These are letters in red, folks. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. We're going to have things go on down here. There's no doubt about it. But through him, I'm here to tell you, we can overcome. One of these days, I plan on going to heaven. You want to go with me? Amen. Amen. I want to go to heaven one of these days. I want you to go with me. Everybody in here, you can't quit believing. You can't quit teaching it. We can't do that. You can't quit preaching it. We've got to preach it the way you can't twist it to fit some narrative out there. God, let it go. Let God. I'm here to tell you, any preacher, any teacher that does not teach and preach unequivocally the word of God without fear or favor, you are doing wrong. Amen? You're doing wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not nobody's judge. I'll let God judge that one day. But I'll tell you, by their fruits you shall know them. And we've got to. The God of word shall endure forever. And somebody else will, they'll try to bury it again here down the road. But praise God, it ain't going to do them no good. Amen? Matthew 27, 57 through 60. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen clothes and laid it on an own new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. I'm going to tell you something. They buried him one day, didn't they? Amen. We're going to be celebrating here in just a few months. They buried him, but you know what? He wasn't dead. You know what? I believe this. This is just Dave Long's. I'm going to give you Dave Long's opinion. When Jesus went into the grave, I believe he went to paradise, and I believe he went down there and he preached to those souls that, but from the time of the flood up till the time that Jesus, I believe he preached to them, and I believe while he was down there, he preached to them, and those that accepted got to go to heaven, and those that didn't aren't. And that's just what I believe. That's just my humble opinion. You can believe with me or not. But I'm just telling you, I believe he did that in those 3 days. It's what he did. He was not dead. And I believe he took the sacrifice up, the blood sacrifice. But you know what? Praise God, the devil was just all gleeful and happy. And he thought, well, we've got him now. We've done it now. And all the Pharisees and the scribes thought to themselves, they said, listen, you know what? We've got him dead now. We don't have to ever listen to him again. They buried him. They buried him, Ed. But guess what? He wasn't dead. He wasn't dead. He wasn't a bit dead. No, he wasn't. I could just shout down the house this morning because we serve a risen Savior this morning. Praise God. We serve one that loves us. That I'll tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, he loves us. He went to the extra mile for us. He died on a cross. They buried him, but he wasn't dead. He's not dead this morning. Why? Because it lives in my heart. I know he's not dead. I know he's not. I say this, but you know what? I don't have to go over to Israel to see the empty tomb. I know it's empty. Amen. I know it is. Because I can feel him. I can feel him right down here on Medina Road, Sean. I feel him right down here on Medina Road. I feel him talking to me. I feel his presence, his spirit. I feel him dealing with, you know what? Listen to me. Listen to Revelations 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's something we never, you know why I never noticed that before? Jesus said amen to himself. Amen. Jesus amen to himself. He said this. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Praise God. Praise the Lord this morning. You know what? If we ain't got nothing else to testify about when we go out of this place, out into the world tomorrow, we should be able to say, you know what? Jesus is alive and well. Praise God. They placed him in a tomb. The chief priest, the devil, all of them thought they had him. There was a song out here a few years ago, and I forget who sung that song, but it talked about how the demons thought, you know, they thought that they'd had him. And the devil said, you know, just make sure that you watch it. Just make sure, and just make sure that you got him down. Make sure that you put the demons around it. You know, I even heard where they said they even put the demons in on his chest, trying to hold. Death was right there, and guess what? All at once, he started moving. Oh, he started moving. Death said, I can't hold him. The demon said, we're getting out of here. Praise God. And tell you why, because God had said, God had lifted his son up, and he is alive and he is well today. Praise God. Tell you what, if he tarries, and he buries us 6 foot under, can I tell you something this morning? If you're a Christian, you're not dead. You're not dead. You're going to live on in eternity. Amen. And you know what? If you've lived a life down here, I'm telling you, you're going to live on down here for a while as well. Amen? Amen. You're going to do it. Praise God. I don't know. I'll tell you, that would have been something to see. Throw that man in there and he touches the bones of Elijah. And he comes back to life. Wouldn't that have been amazing to see? Wouldn't it have been? But you know, I got to ask this. God, man, you're not very good buddies. You just want to throw me in any old grave? But praise God, they threw him in the right one. Amen? Amen. One of these days. Praise God, we're going to be with him. Amen. We're going to be with him one day. Amen. Buried but not dead. Praise the Lord this morning. Come get a song.